Reimagining Russia's Realms, this week on UK Perspectives. I'm Tom Goodell. This year, UK's College of Arts and Sciences is committed to an in-depth examination of the peoples, arts, cultures, and homelands of Eurasia, focusing in particular on what the United States and Russia have in common. Here to give us an overview of this semester's activities are Cynthia Ruder, Associate Professor of Russian Studies, and Gordon Hogg, Special Collections Library Director at UK. Welcome to UK Perspectives.
Thanks very much.
Tom.
Gordon Hogg, when I was growing up in the 1960s, we always heard a lot about Soviet propaganda. And this month, we have an opportunity to actually see some examples of that at the library. So tell us about
exhibit. Well, we have, courtesy of a very large bequest, about 13 years ago now, the Scott Collection of Military and Cold War History came with about 80 full-size propaganda posters and military training poster sets. And so what we've done for the Reimagining Russia's Realms, which is also alternately called Year of Russia, sort of as shorthand following on Year of China, but we've chosen 12 images and made facsimiles of them, and we're going to be posting them in W.T. Young Library. We have chosen them essentially for their impact, also for their artistic design. These represent something that's in the continuing lineage of some of the great graphic art of the teens and 20s in Russia. It also represents some of the just brazen propagandistic types of things, of which we have at least two or three examples in the show. They are, in some cases, something to glorify the Soviet state. A lot of them include the presence of Lenin, and it's so interesting to me that the presence of Lenin in these posters is not always Lenin himself, but it's a statue of Lenin, which people could see anywhere they wanted, yet they show up in these posters. Lenin with a sea of Republic flags behind him, for example. Lenin, the center of a poster extolling science, industry, and agriculture. You know, so you've got tractors and dams and so forth all around him. So these are, I think, typical, in some cases, background art for the Soviet period. They would be in public buildings. They would be on walls and available for everybody to see. Some of the military things are a little bit more specific to the kind of training posters that recruits were getting.
So it's the sort of thing you might see on an army base if you were stationed there.
And sorry, I used the word recruit. They weren't recruited. They were drafted into it, whether they liked it or not. But for incoming soldiers, because it was a wide range of young guys that were from cities and from the countryside, and their care and feeding and the care and feeding of their equipment was something that had to be imparted to them. So it's a wide range.
And it seems to me the principles of design for these posters are pretty similar to the kinds of things that the Soviet government mandated that artists had to do in the world of fine art, too, are they not? The same kinds of messages.
Within, I suppose, what you call the construct of socialist realism, it had to impart a certain mood. It had to be unmistakably evident that it was positive when speaking about the government or the people's opportunities and the people's accomplishments. All of it was very formulaic.
A few days after the poster exhibit opens, we're going to be welcoming to Lexington, to the Land of Tomorrow Gallery, two artists, one of whom in particular is a very famous Russian conceptualist artist who wanted to do exactly the opposite of those posters. And he took a number of Soviet propaganda posters and essentially turned them on their ear with his artistic adaptation. And so for anyone interested in art, I think seeing the Soviet propaganda posters and then going to see the Komar Fix exhibit at Land of Tomorrow would be a wonderful counterpoint, because you really do get two sides of Soviet official and unofficial art. And the artists are actually going to be there at a reception on Friday, February the 8th. That's open to the public. And so anyone who's interested in stopping by, it's part of the gallery hop. And it would be a great chance for folks to meet the artists and also get a chance to discuss their works with them.
Do some of these posters also include images of evil capitalists?
Oh, definitely. there are grasping, evil capitalists, almost like a caricature of the guy on the Monopoly cards, except he has claws and fangs. And also, there are just any chance to put a spin on the American soldier himself as representing the military or militarism. One of them features essentially a death's head in an American helmet. So that opportunity is there too.
And I know I've seen some travel posters in your collection. Are those going to be part of this exhibit as well?
We might have one or two. Because I must admit, I presented so many for consideration. I'm not sure all of them were taken, but yes, there's certainly one which is something to the effect of "Visit the Soviet Union, the land of the first spaceman," and then there's a Soviet internal version of that, which is just showing a cosmonaut and praising Soviet science. There are also posters for Soviet ballet. Not all of these will be in the show, but Soviet ballet.
Which was one of the wonders of the world.
That was, and that these are very early, and the agency was called Intourist, and it was for Western or non-Soviet tourists to come in and be basically managed and to see what was available and what was essentially cleaned up for their appreciation. The music and ballet required really very little interference from the government because it spoke for itself and people were able to see wonderful performances.
Cynthia Reuter, you teach Russian studies at UK, and I wonder if you could tell us about some of the other events that are coming up this month as part of the Year of Russia.
One of the things that we're really happy about is a great collaboration with the UK School of Music. And that's going to be a series of concerts the last week of February into the first week of March that are going to feature Russian music performed by students and faculty of the UK music program. And so there's going to be a chamber music recital. There's going to be Russian songs and arias that are going to be performed, Russian love songs. And a concluding event of that is a small symposium focusing on Britain and Shostakovich. And so that is one of the premier events of the first part of this semester that we're really looking forward to.
Britain as in Benjamin Britten.
Right.
Exactly.
So an opportunity to compare their works and talk about their very close relationship.
Yes. Right. Yes, exactly.
And there are also, there's a Mardi Gras coming up. Now, what is the connection between Russia and Mardi Gras? I think of that as a particularly New Orleans kind of thing.
Well, we call it the Russian Mardi Gras because to use the Russian word Maslenitsa actually is best translated as Fat Tuesday. And it's the celebration essentially a week before Russian Orthodox Lent begins when you can pretty much, as they do in New Orleans, live it up, have really rich and wonderful foods before you begin the intense fasting that goes along with Russian Orthodox Lent. We have two events, actually, that are devoted to this. One is a fundraiser that we're sponsoring at the Lyric Theater on Saturday, February 16th, which is trying to raise money for our student scholarship fund for Russia education abroad. That is going to feature a vodka tasting as well as wonderful Russian canapes and hors d'oeuvres, and we're looking forward to that. The other event is a Russian club-sponsored event where our students are going to be making Russian pancakes, or blini, for anyone who's interested, and that's going to be Wednesday, the 6th of March, at 4 p.m. in the Commonwealth House at the Gain Center. And folks are going to be able to either eat the pancakes that the students make or make your own and fill it with whatever savory or sweet filling you'd like to do. So there's two ways to celebrate the Russian Fat Tuesday.
Wonderful. Yeah. That sounds like a very satisfying event.
Yes, both we hope are going to be fun and enlightening for anyone who participates.
Now, coming up in June, several faculty, students, and also members of the community are going on a tour of the Volga. And this is open to the public, as I understand.
Absolutely.
So tell us, and I mean literally, flying to Russia and cruising the Volga River. So tell us a little bit about that.
This program is the culminating activity of the Year of Russia Activities. My colleague Jean Marie Rouillet and I are going to be taking a group of students and community members for a 16-day trip to Russia. We start off in St. Petersburg, where we see some of the wonderful sights of that amazing city. And then we get on board ship. We board our ship there and begin our cruise up and down the Volga. We're especially excited about the places we're going to visit on the Volga River. They include Valam, which is a very holy site in Russia, has a monastery that was closed for a long time and is now open and working. We're also going to visit the city of Yaroslavl, which is considered one of the jewels in the crown of the Russian ring of old cities encircling Moscow. Lots of the old traditional Russian architecture has been preserved. We're also going to visit an island called Kizhi, which is famous for its wooden church architecture. The buildings have been preserved. It's an amazing place. We'll also be traveling to Uglich, which is on a large reservoir along the Volga River that, again, is noted for its history, its architecture, and the beauty of the natural surroundings. The trip concludes with a sail down the Moscow Canal, which provides probably 60 to 70% of the potable water for Moscow. And we will end up with 2 or 3 days in Moscow, where we get to see the major sights of the city, but also enable participants to have some free time to wander around on their own. And for students taking the trip, they can earn up to 7 credit hours by paying for 1 credit hour, taking the trip as well as 2 courses that we're offering. Professor Rouillet is going to be doing a course on Russian folklore. That's going to be especially wonderful because you will get to see the folklore about which she is speaking. I'm doing a course on Stalin's waterways because we're going to be sailing on the Moscow Canal, which was one of the large Stalinist construction projects of the 1930s that was constructed by forced labor camp labor. And so it's going to be especially rich for participants to see and be at the places about which we're speaking, which is something that you try to do in a course on campus, but you're never able to capture unless you're actually at the location.
And how do you sign up, or where do you go to find more information about the trip to Russia?
There is a lot of information at the UK. Actually, it's not Education Abroad anymore. It's the UK International Center. They have pages devoted to information about the trip and how people can register, pay their deposit. There are pages for both UK students who are interested in attending as well as students from other institutions, and a different site for folks who are in the community and would be interested in taking the trip with us.
And we'll put a link at our website so our listeners can find that.
And in general, the information is at russia.as.uky.edu. And that's a great spot to go for information not only about the trip, but about all the events that we're having this semester. We update the calendar regularly, and all of our events, with the exception of the February 16th Fat Tuesday celebration, that's a fundraiser, are free and open to the public. And we love it when folks from the community, both in UK and outside of UK, participate, because for us, that's just a great way to get the word out and share the various wonderful things about Russia.
Will you or any of the participants in the trip be blogging about it so we can kind of follow your footsteps as you go down the Volga?
Actually, we'll hope to do that. In particular, it would be great to have a student doing the blog. We have 2 or 3 students who have been blogging for us over the course of the fall semester, and that's been wonderful because it really does provide a different perspective on the whole experience of being in Russia and learning Russia. We had 2 students in Russia and 1 in Kyrgyzstan, and so that has been a really enlightening adventure for all of us.
The Year of Russia started last fall, and it continues through the spring semester, and as you say, culminates with the trip to the Volga. I'm curious, what have each of you learned about the Russian realms that you didn't know before you started this project? Gordon Hogg?
I have to say that I have spent more time telling people about things that they didn't know than things that I didn't particularly miss somehow. That's been my experience so far. And much of it has to do is spin out from the, like my first sort of the kickoff speech about the history of the Soviet flags and Soviet military and how those collections came to be here. And just in passing, I spend time telling people again and again about the various ethnic groups that populate what is still core Russia, and then beyond that the republics and so forth. It's still interesting to people, and it's still something that they don't usually think about readily. You know, Uzbeks, Kazakhs, Latvians. It's just. So I feel like what I've learned is to be a proponent and offer information.
Cynthia Reuter?
Actually, this is a perfect follow-up to what Gordon was saying. One of the things that I've learned was about the Ket people in Siberia and the endangered languages that are spoken by so few people out there, but that are maintaining very rich traditions, and they're working to keep their languages alive. And the derivation of those languages, and even more startlingly, how those folks live as we embark on the 21st century, that Edward Vida came and gave a lecture in December, and that was just fascinating. He talked about things that I had never heard about and had never seen before, even in spite of the fact that I've been to Russia 50 times over the course of my career. And so that was really great. I also think that, as Gordon said, when you organize a program like this, you do find yourself in the position of sharing information, sharing your experiences, but also explaining some fundamental ideas, concepts, and events to folks simply because they haven't been exposed to that. And that has been a really great learning experience, even for me, someone who is a professor of Russian, who's married to a Russian, who has been to Russia numerous times. It always is a great experience to see how you can convey that information to folks and what they do and don't know.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Our guests have been Gordon Hogg and Cynthia Reuter. Our complete UK Perspectives interview is available at wuky.org. For WUKY, I'm Tom Goodell.